Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome to worship at New Dublin. It is a special, special Sunday, and we are glad that you are here. There are a few announcements I want to call to your attention this morning. Your announcements are in the insert on the other side, then the hymn words. Choir is going to practice at 7 o'clock. Session is on Tuesday. There is a lovely newsletter that Jane Graham has put together for us, and we thank Jane for doing that and for everyone who contributed to it. And there's an opportunity for us to help that it is too complicated for me to paraphrase. I'm going to get it wrong, so you all just read it. And finally, we are absolutely delighted to be baptizing Charlotte Claffey this morning. And we want to extend a special welcome to the members of her family that are present. Is there anything else that needs to be brought to our attention this morning? Then please join me in the call to worship. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness.
The Lord is enthroned as king forever.
The Lord blesses his people with peace.
Let us pray. Lord our God, we rejoice to come to worship you this morning. We rejoice because it is in some ways a very special Sunday, but also because it is always a joy, always what we were made for, to come and worship you. And we pray that as we come to worship with our best intentions, you would cleanse our hearts and thoughts from all unworthy thoughts or distracting concerns, so that we may offer you the worship that you are due and that pleases you. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The hymn is All People That on Earth Do Dwell.
Still.
Now. When Jesus told us the parable of the prodigal son, he acknowledged that we are indeed prone to go off to a far country and do silly things. But the story ends with the father running to meet the son. And we know that is how God is when we repent of our sins and confess them. So let us confess our sins before God and one another. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sins, and whose mercy we forget in the blindness of our hearts, cleanse us from all our offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that with reverent and humble hearts we may draw near to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding in you our refuge and strength. Through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Friends, who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. And Christ prays for us. Believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. And be at peace. As we prepare to hear the scriptures read, let us pray. Lord our God, as we read the Bible this morning, we ask that your Spirit would speak to us in these words so that the voice we hear would not be the voice of our memory or of people long dead, but your living word to us today. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is Psalm 139. Hear the word of God. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. That I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth.
Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. Oh, that you would kill the wicked, O God, and that the bloodthirsty would depart from me, those who speak of you maliciously and lift themselves up against you for evil. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is the word of the Lord. I think especially growing up in the South, although I've never grown up anywhere else, there are a few things you just pick up effortlessly in the air you breathe and the water you drink. And one of those things is that when someone asks you when you got saved at day camp or on the playground at recess, you'd better have a good answer for them. Location, certainly. Month and year at least, if not day and time. I was somewhat confused by this as a little girl, and my dad taught me a snarky response, something like 2,000 years ago, right outside Jerusalem. But the first time I actually, you know, deployed this remark, I found out really quickly that it just raised more questions than it answered. One time I genuinely convinced a missionary that I wasn't saved, I didn't know the Lord at all, and she went and told my Bible study teacher. So I don't recommend it as a response. Even as a little girl, little kids, it was expected that you'd have a date in your life, a clean break, before and after. Before I didn't know God, and now I do. And of course, that is the way it is for some of us. And that's a good thing. There's no shame in it. It's a good thing to have experienced God's grace and power in such a stark and beautiful way. You've been changed forever. But it isn't that way for all of us. And sometimes we can worry about it. Some of us have experienced spiritual highs and lows like everyone does, but never a dramatic break, never a time before I knew God and after. Some people experience the Christian life as a kind of a progression, developmental step by developmental step, but never a 180-degree turnaround. Nevertheless, whether for you it was a dramatic break or if it was just a growing up in the faith, most of us can remember a moment when, for the first time, we took the claim of God on our lives seriously, or the first time we realized that we'd have to act in a way we'd really prefer not to, or that we would have to give up something that we'd really like to do or have because of our relationship with God. And often, when people who experienced the grace of God in their lives gradually are asked that question, when were you saved, that's the moment they point to, the first time they did something for God, consciously, and maybe even painfully. But you know, I don't think that's the most important question. As important on one level as our response to God is, that's all it can ever be, is a response. The decisive truth of our lives is not that we have claimed God, but that God has claimed us. That's what the psalmist is so aware of in our reading this morning. He ends up, the very last line, is something that we might recognize as the same kind of genre as a prayer for salvation, like we see on bookmarks and things sometimes. Lead me in the way everlasting. But that's where he ends up. It's not where he starts. He doesn't begin with the potential for his ability to even pray to walk a certain path. He begins with God's action and God's choice. God has searched him. God has known him. God knows the thoughts in his head and the words in his mouth. Before he was born, God knit him together in his mother's womb. God knows everything that he is, everything that he has thought or said, everything that he's done. And none of it has made God stop loving him. None of it has made God choose to stop seeing him. God still lays his hand on him. God still hems him in, as he puts it. Even if he chooses a destructive path, even if he chooses Sheol instead of the heavens, even if he chooses the darkness instead of the day. And this choice of God's is what leads ultimately to the psalmist's choice to make his prayer, "Lead me in the way everlasting." One of the things that we learn in the air in the South is that baptism is something you do for God. Obedience to his command, something you do when you're ready to surrender your life to him. And when we're baptizing adults, that's true and a good thing. It represents many profound truths about baptism, that at some point we are confronted by the claims of God and must surrender or not. It reminds us that God washes us from our sins, that we've passed from an old life into a new one. But the overriding prevalence of adult baptisms in our culture can make it seem like that's the only thing baptism is about. And so when it comes time to baptize a baby, like we're doing today, it can cause some questions. What are we doing here? Because Charlotte, after all, is not yet capable of surrendering her life to God. She doesn't know she's being baptized. She doesn't know what she has that pretty dress on for. And when we do it, she's not going to have a clue what's going on. And she may very well not be particularly pleased with me dumping a bunch of water on her head. But maybe in one sense, that's the point. There's a lot of things Charlotte can't do yet. There's a lot of things that Charlotte doesn't understand yet. But God hasn't waited until Charlotte understands and can decide to follow him for herself. He's gone ahead and claimed her now. He claimed her before she was born, when he was knitting her together in secret. That's what the baptism of babies reminds us of so powerfully. It's true for babies, and it's true for us. When we could not choose God, God chose us. And when she's grown up some, we trust and pray that in God's grace, she'll come to know all this. She won't be able to remember her baptism or a time before when she was baptized, just as she won't be able to remember a time before when God called her and knew her and claimed her as his own forever. We trust and pray that she will know with the psalmist that the Lord knows her completely, that wherever she goes, he sees her and guides her. And we trust and pray that one day she will be able to pray with the psalmist that God leads her on the way everlasting. We trust and pray that one day she will make that choice to do or avoid something for the first time for God's sake, to make her faith her own. But it will only happen because God made the first move. She will respond because first God loved her and knows all her ways, the good and the bad, and loved her and never stopped loving her. God loved us before we could do anything about it. God loves Charlotte before she can do anything about it. That's what really matters in the end. That's what's of first importance. And honestly, thanks be to God for that, because God's faithfulness is steady and unswerving and unflinching, and our faithfulness is very easily distracted. Our darkness is light to God, but to us it's pretty darn dark. The far side of the sea may be nothing to God, but for us it's a long way from home. And our own hearts and own desires are often confusing and surprising to us, but they never are to God. God knows them completely, the good and the bad. And when we don't understand or like how our life is going, when we feel estranged or homesick, when we're acting in destructive ways and know it but somehow can't seem to stop, it's so easy for our brittle faithfulness to snap, for our hold on God to crumble. And it's in those times more than any other that it truly is good news that when we can't respond the way we wish we could, God chooses to do it for us, that God chooses to love us anyway. That's when it's really good news that God's faithfulness is not dependent on our faithfulness. When our hold crumbles, God's holds firm. We want to protect Charlotte from all the bad times she might face, but we know we can't. No one is immune. She'll face those times too. And when she does, when she second guesses all her choices and her efforts, when she doesn't understand why she's feeling the way she is, when she's tired, we pray that the truth that is made clear today in her baptism will uphold her. God will still be with her, and his hand will still be on her. So thanks be to God for his gift of baptism. Thanks be to God for his care and faithfulness that surrounds and upholds even the smallest and weakest and least capable among us. And to the God of all grace, who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen. We're going to say the Apostles' Creed together in a minute, but first would the Claffey family come, and Dale as well. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age. Hear also these words from Holy Scripture. As many of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves in Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus.
On behalf of the session of New Dublin Presbyterian Church, it is with great pleasure that I'm able to introduce and present for baptism Charlotte Benetta Claffey.
Thank you. Do you desire that Charlotte be baptized? Relying on God's grace, do you promise to live the Christian faith and to teach that faith to your child? Do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture Charlotte by word and deed, with love and prayer, encouraging her to know and follow Christ and to be a faithful member of his church? Do you? Through baptism, we enter the covenant God has established. Within this covenant, God gives us new life, guards us from evil, and nurtures us in love. In embracing that covenant, we choose whom we will serve by turning from evil and turning to Jesus Christ.
Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? Who is your Lord and Savior? Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Will you be Christ's faithful disciples, obeying his word and showing his love? With the whole church, let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. We thank you, O God, for the water of baptism. In it, we are buried with Christ in his death, and from it, we are raised to share in his resurrection. Through it, we are reborn by the power of the Holy Spirit. Send your Spirit to move over this water, that it may be a fountain of deliverance and rebirth. Wash away the sin of all who are cleansed by it. Raise them to new life and graft them to the body of the church. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon them that they may have power to do your will and continue forever in the risen life of Christ. To you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, be all praise, honor, and glory, now and forever. Amen. Charlotte Benetta, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Ooh. Charlotte, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and grafted into Christ forever. Charlotte has been received into the body of the church and baptized into Christ. So let us welcome her. All right. We're going to go see some people. All right. Say hi. Yeah. Thank you. just before we ask you to sit down, we're going to pray for you two as you raise her. Gracious God, giver of all life, we pray for Dan and Elaine. Give them wisdom and patience to guide Charlotte in the way of Jesus Christ and the faith of the church. Let your peace and joy dwell in their home, that their family life may be instructed by faith, sustained by prayer, and governed by love. Strengthen them in their own baptism, that they may rejoice as children of God and serve you faithfully. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It is our great joy to celebrate not only baptism, but the Lord's Supper today. We're getting all of the sacraments at once this morning, and it is just wonderful to do so. There is a singular communion packet left here. If somebody doesn't have one, you're welcome to come and get it. If we need more than one, we will do that real quick. But there is one of these left if somebody needs one. When she comes up. Uda, no, Uda, no, sorry, it's for you. I was just going to relay it back to you, but you can have it. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west and from north and south to sit at table in God's kingdom. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread and blessed and broke and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Do not come to this table because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Not because any of us by our own merits is righteous, but because we all stand in need of the forgiving grace of God. Do not come to assert an opinion or to prove yourself right, but to celebrate a presence. Our Savior invites those who trust in him to share in the feast that he has prepared. Let us pray. Father of mercy and God of all comfort, we acknowledge you to be the Lord, and at all times we honor your greatness and glory. First, because you created us in your own image and likeness, but chiefly because you freed us from the enslavement of sin through your only Son, from which neither mortal nor angel had been able to make us free. You gave him in love to be made like us in all things except sin, that by his death and resurrection he might bring again life to the world. Lord, we are not able, in our dullness, to understand the breadth and length and height and depth of your love. But true to the commandment of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we come to this table, which he has left to us to be used in remembrance of his death until he comes again. Here we declare and witness before the world that by him alone we have received liberty and life. By him alone you claim us as children and heirs. By him alone we have access to your favor, freely shown. By him alone we are raised into your spiritual kingdom, there to eat and drink with you and the Son at that most joyful table of eternal life. In this present time, we on earth have communion with you in heaven. But in the time to come, we shall be raised to that endless joy prepared for us before the foundation of the world was laid.
We acknowledge that we have received these gifts by your free mercy and grace through your only Son, Jesus Christ. Moved by your Holy Spirit, we, your congregation, give you all thanks, praise, and glory, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and having given thanks for it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, sealed in my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of it, all of you." The bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? And the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." Jesus also said, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit." You may take the cup. Let us pray together. God of grace, you renew us at your table with the bread of life. May this food strengthen us in love and help us to serve you and each other. We ask this in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen. The hymn is "Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise."
Oh,
Go in peace.
Have courage. Love and serve the Lord. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and remain with you all, now and forever. Amen.